María, today we are going to talk in English because I have a guest with me who wants to talk in English because she understands perfectly Spanish, but she prefers English. Here is Kamali, my niece.
Hello. Hi, Titi.
Hi, I'm just so glad to have you here in my podcast.
I'm glad to be here. We've been talking about it for so long. I'm happy that we're finally doing it.
I'm always here for you, Mama. Sometimes I'm just like a little bit busy, but you
For
know
sure. 100%.
how is life?
Oh man, life is life, man. I've been through it, of course, like anybody else. But yeah, today we're gonna talk about my upbringing. We're gonna talk about, my language per like preference and my family and all of that. And we're gonna talk a deep about the differences in culture between me and my parents and how you go about raising a child in the United States.
I'm just dealing with my English still because sometimes it's like, damn,
Language is difficult, and English is one of the hardest languages. Yesterday, I was talking to some of my friends, and they're like, English is literally just a melting pot of different languages if you look at it.
But I know that today you are drinking tea because you're not a coffee lover.
I am not a coffee lover. I used to love coffee when I was younger, but I think because I drank it so much as a child, and then my job became working with coffee, I just got sick and tired of it.
Yeah, I understand, but I love like tea. You know that I'm just a
Yes.
fan.
Tea has wonderful properties.
So this episode is like the title that I choose is like my mom talking in Spanish, but I love English.
English,
How
yes.
do you feel about that?
All right, I don't mind it because after all the whole years, I understand Spanish perfectly. So it was never an issue for me. I was raised by my grandmother. Most of my life, my parents were at work, so I was only taught in Spanish up until I went to school.
Okay. I know that sometimes your mother talks like in Spanglish. That's
Yes.
our thing.
Yeah, and I've gotten very used to it since most of our family, they only really speak Spanish. So it really wasn't an issue at all, but it did come with some problems because whenever I used to meet some extended family from, let's say, Puerto Rico or anywhere else, they would always think that I'm a gringa and that I was white and American, that I didn't know Spanish. And they would be like, oh, can you tell your daughter this? And I'm like, I understand exactly what you're saying. Like, I may not be able to speak it perfectly because I understand it, but I don't have confidence in speaking it. So I'd rather just answer in English.
That's our thing when we come here from the Puerto Rico island. We have to try to talk in English, and we always have our struggle. I remember that I started talking more in English with you. I spent a lot of time with you in my darkest like time. And we spend a lot of time together, and we have fun, and we talk, and we for real, it's like you are so important for me in that part of the language issue. So can you tell the listener who you are, what are you doing, where you spending your life?
Yeah, so my name is Kamali. I went to school for medical billing and coding and medical office administration. And while my time working there, I had a so much stress. So what I decided to get was cannabis. So right now, I want to go back to school for botany and learn how to properly grow plants so I can hopefully grow my own and grow some of the best medicine in the state of Florida, because right now there could be better for sure. There's room for improvement inside of the Florida medical system. I am a medical card holder, and me being here for about a few months, I've seen enough to be like, there needs to be some changes and there needs to be better weed for everybody, you know?
Yeah, you're in lay or law. Yeah, you mm-hmm. you know how to do it. You have everything in order. Mm-hmm. I'm so curious because I've been reading and I'm have like a little bit like more stuff to read and to learn. But I know that you're so passionate about it, and I want to know more.
So let's talk about cannabis. Cannabis sativa is a plant that is normally occurring in, you know, our world that can give us some psychoactive properties. It can be ingested in multiple ways. You can smoke it, you can eat it, you can put it on your skin, you can vape it. Any way you want, weed can be in your system and can help you with so many different things. For me, for example, I went through a car accident and I had a lot of PTSD and a lot of anxiety because of it.
And I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was not having it. And weed was kind of like the way of me trying to calm down. Whenever you smoke weed, funny enough, your dreams stop. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain. No one really knows exactly why this happens, but dreams stop and flashbacks stop when you start smoking weed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have to do my research on that topic.
Yeah. So if, like for instance, whenever I stopped smoking weed about a few months ago for 2 weeks, because I did a break, my dreams came back more vivid and more pronounced than ever before because I stopped smoking weed. I recognized that I stopped dreaming completely or stopped remembering my dreams when I smoked weed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was a really, really like, oh, this could really help people with this. And I noticed that a lot of people with PTSD become a little bit dependent on it because it helps them kind of not think about it. PTSD is one of those conditions where even though you're not near it for a lot of years, it can still bother you for a lot of years. You can maybe never really get over it.
And yeah, it's difficult.
Kind of makes it, it makes it manageable.
It is complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes it so it doesn't bother you. It makes it so it's not on your mind. And that's what's very powerful about weed is that we're not necessarily trying to forget the pain. We're just trying to make it manageable.
Right. Yeah. The other thing is like, I like a lot the outcomes when people take edibles or they're using like oil or they're using creams.
Right.
Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So let's talk about one of my favorite ways to consume cannabis. It's called RSO.
Okay.
RSO is a type of thick, viscous liquid that is extracted from the cannabis plant. That liquid has all of the cannabinoids, which is the active ingredients inside cannabis that kind of hit our receptors. The human body has something called an endocannabinoid system. So funny that we have something called cannabis in our own body that actually activates whenever we smoke cannabis. So that's why we have known cannabis to be good for inflammation, for pain, for cancer, for stuff like that, because it directly hits that endo system, the endocrine system, all of those body parts that, you know, make our body and our immune system work.
Right. You're right.
So RSO, Rick Simpson oil, this man who had cancer put this oil on his skin, and he had, I believe, some type of cancer, and it went away.
Wow.
Now,
so interesting.
Yeah, RSO can be used topically. It can be put in food. What else can you do with it? Or you can, I haven't really heard people smoking it too much. People don't smoke it all too much, but you know, you can eat it. What I do with it is I make my own edibles with it. So
perfect.
You take the oil and you put it in butter and you mix it up and you put it into, and you substitute what is the oil in the brownies and you put the butter instead of the oil.
Yeah, what kind of edible that you like to do or to make?
I like making brownies. They're the easiest because you can hide the taste more because it's so rich and chocolatey. I want to try to make cookies, like actual real full cookies out of wheat. I don't know how many I can get out of it, but I'm pretty sure I can get like a few cookies out of there.
What about the cream for the pain?
Topicals. So there is creams, but there's also patches, parchitos. So you can put it on your back.
And right.
It's that way too. So you just put it on your skin, and some people, you will feel high because the way, but just probably not as much. It goes through your pores and it activates that way. So it's really a type of, it's a type of relief that you want to pinpoint, a pinpoint relief. You have a specific pain in your back, you put it on your back and it goes away.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just working with people with chronic pain and they like to meditate. They like to use a deep breathing exercises, but sometimes they report like it's not enough. It's not enough. And they took a lot of pills. Their exercises, they try to do physical exercises, and then they still feel in pain.
Okay, so I can say this pretty comfortably because I had a car accident that marijuana helps with pain a lot. It helps with pain modulation. So it makes it feel like certain strains, there's different types of cannabis. So there's cannabis sativa and cannabis indica, right? Cannabis sativa focuses on the mind. It's going to focus straight on your brain. So for pain patients, I would recommend you guys get a sativa. It's not going to work for you. It's more for people that want a pick-me-up. People who want to get up, people who want to do stuff, people who are trying to, you know, get stuff done. Indica is a body high. It hits your body hard. It just relaxes your body completely. And with you completely relaxing your body, you're getting all of that tension off of your body.
Okay.
Which in turn makes it way easier to deal with pain.
So people who really, really think that may help for them use the cannabis or medical marijuana, you can say like, yeah, go do it.
Yeah, 100%. It really, really, really works. I can say that for a lot of conditions. I've met a lot of people with even autism, and CBD really helps. There's different types of cannabinoids. There's delta 8, 9, 10, CBG, and CBD that we know the best about at the moment. CBD will not get you high. It is not psychoactive whatsoever, but it will relax you.
CBD
is more medicinal than THC. It hits your body in the body, if that makes sense. It's not like THC Delta 9, which basically makes you high, makes your vision blurry, makes you see stuff, makes you more creative. Which can help, but for pain, I really, really, really recommend CBD. It really hits all of it. My mom has really hard pain in her wrist, and she is ingesting CBD almost daily, and it helps her just deal with it.
Oh, I can like imagine her saying like, "Ay, esto está bien chévere."
Yeah, she loves it, and she was one of the biggest people to support me because my parents understand the medicinal value of weed. What was I talking about? Yeah, so CBD and autism. It's been shown to help children with autism how do you say this? Marijuana has a tendency to make you feel creative and make you be outgoing. It's very weird how weed does that. It's very weird how weed just it opens your mind and it makes you talk.
When
people with Alzheimer's and people with autism, they give in weed, they may not remember or know nothing, but they can sing songs.
Right. And because our brain is connecting all the thing that we have in the top of our head, and your hemispheres like connect with the left and the right one, and then you can sing, you can like even listen to the music in your own head.
Exactly. And it's very like difficult for people with Alzheimer's and autism to form words, but all of a sudden they're singing full songs and they've never spoken in either a while or in their entire life.
Wow. Other thing that I like so much about people feel better and without pain is that people can laugh, can feel happy.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit more about that kind of experience?
Yeah, I have something called clinical depression, which is one of the most severe forms of depression. Cannabis is known to give feelings of euphoria, of happiness upon ingesting, upon smoking. So think of it like the bad stuff in your brain is being turned off and all you're doing is laughing. And you never know why, but you're happy that you're laughing. So it's kind of like your brain has stopped thinking that it's sad, and it's now thinking, oh crap, we're high. We feel really good. It feels very good to be high because we feel euphoric. We feel happy. We feel elevated. Our mood is completely elevated from what it was before. It's because weed does that. Weed raises your spirits. It's very interesting. Sativa in particular really helps with depression because it's known to have the best uplifting moods. You know, there's something called terpenes in cannabis that can give the smell of the cannabis, right? The smell of the cannabis can smell like oranges, and everybody knows that oranges wakes you up. Same thing.
When you smell
oranges, you can smell sweets. There's skunky smells, there's earthy smells, spicy smells. It's very interesting.
And that sounds like a mindfulness technique. Yeah.
Yes, smell stuff. I love smelling weed. What I love to do to, as though it sounds weird, is weed is an experience, right? It's not just you smoke it and you feel high.
Right.
You break up the nuggets and you see the colors and you smell it and you start seeing. And then when you put it in the paper and you roll it, and then you have that experience of truly touching the herb, smelling the herb, understanding where it came from. Everything is kind of like my escape.
Yeah.
That's one of my mindfulness techniques, is find something that really, really captures your imagination and really, really captures your passion. And
for you, it's like a grounding technique. Yes. You're telling me like a grounding technique that you may doing late at night because you want to just relax. You want to try to do something like good for you. You're picking your stuff. You are working on your whatever you're doing, and you just like start smoking and feel better and feel relaxed and feel more focused. Sometimes it is better for you to just take a moment.
With certain strains as well, they do a lot of sativa strains, I will say this, do boost focus. If you guys have some type of focus issues like ADHD, I've tried some strains that really helped my ADHD, and it was very surprising to me that weed can do that as well. ADHD also comes with a lot of impulsivity, a lot of hyperactiveness. Get an indica and smoke that and you'll really feel calm. Sometimes it feels like a cauldron is bubbling and boiling whenever it comes to ADHD, and we do not know how to put the lid over it.
Right. You're right. I'm just so glad to talk to you about that, because I feel your passion. You're so passionate about it.
And I am.
Can you say something for the listener about the passion that you have?
I've had a lot of people question my passion, and the best thing I would say is to anybody is, even if people question your passion, do it harder. You know what I mean? Try harder. Do it even though people might say no. even if you're scared, even if you think it might not go anywhere, try it anyway, because you never know. Right. You know what I mean? Passion. And even if you think it's the dumbest passion ever, there will still be somebody who needs that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So try it anyway.
Right.
You're not losing anything from trying. Unless you're losing money. And if you know you're not going to do well, you know when to stop. But when it comes to passion, just how anybody says, I've followed so many people among people. Elon Musk, one of the biggest people on the planet, says this. He was almost at rock bottom, and his passion was to make an electric car. And he is the biggest electric car manufacturer in the world. And he did
in the world.
Mm-hmm. You can do the same thing.
Absolutely right.
You can do the same thing.
I'm so happy. Yeah. I like your words. You're so right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just like so proud to having to having you here in my podcast. Mm. I'm gonna tell you something. Thank you, Anchor App, for the opportunity to record this podcast. You should download it if you want to do something different. You want to do your own podcast, download the app Anchor. And if you want to know more about my podcast, you can follow me on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm just working on my YouTube channel. I'm working on my TikTok account. Just wait for it. Un Café con María. So what else? Kamali, what else? Can you tell me more about your process when you try to understand people in Spanish, English, the thing with your mom, your dad, their friends that almost everyone's talk Spanish. How do you feel about that? Because sometimes it's difficult, it's hard.
It is hard, and it only becomes hard because my friends become friends with people from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And our Spanish, Puerto Rican Spanish, is very different.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear different Spanishes, I'm like, huh? What are you saying? I don't understand at all. But thankfully, my mother, very, very intelligent woman, is very well versed in different types of Spanish, because my mom loves different cultures and different Spanish and different, whatever. Mm-hmm. So she always taught us, at least me, different Spanishes. So that was very exciting when I was young, learning the differences between cultures and languages and Spanish. When I'm around people who speak Spanish, I feel scared to speak Spanish, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel terrified.
But you prefer English. You love English.
I love your thing. I'm comfortable with it. I've learned in English. I've read in English. I speak to all my friends in English. And then when I come speak to my family, nothing is English. It's like I have to switch my brain almost.
It's a switch.
I'm in English mode, I have to switch to Spanish mode.
Absolutely right.
The
thing is, when I work here with children's here in Orlando, Kissimmee area, I'm just like, oh my God, their parents is so crazy, because they was like, oh, I want her to talk with me in Spanish, but she doesn't want it. I was like, she always do things in English at school. She always listen to English music. She always watch TV in English. Have to try to do, I don't know, peace.
Let's say some of our viewers want to raise children in America. This is what I'm going to tell you. Or children in an English speaking country. Expect your child to be Americanized. Expect it. Okay. When you are in an American school system, they literally, it sounds sad, but it's just how America is. They beat the ever living crap out of you to make sure that you do not recognize your language.
All right.
Give me 1 second.
No, it's okay. That's Koji. That's our third guest.
Okay. Koji, please stop.
So we are lovers, pet lovers. Yes. We love pets. We are a family who has pets. I have my own.
Koji.
Yeah. And that's kind of therapy for me to have Akira, you have Koji.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But... Man, we could do a whole podcast about pets because I got Koji when I was in the darkest part of my life. And Koji completely changed my outlook on life even.
Right. So we are done for the night because we are recording this. Yeah. So thank you so much
for
being here with me. Thank you, Koji.
Thank you, Koji, for having a special appearance.
We love you.
So, it was great talking. I enjoyed this. Hopefully we can do it again. If you're, you know, that we've done an English podcast. I'm really proud, Titi, that you got there and spoke English. And no, it's not your most comfortable language.
No, it's not. But I'm just, like, so grateful because... Oh my God, with you, I just practiced a lot. I'm just like overcome my fears.
From when you first got here, I remember when you first got here, when I first met you, you would only answer me in Spanish. And now we've gotten to the point where now that we're together and we talk to each other, you speak to me in English. And it's so cool seeing, like, from how many years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
I've grown so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I will invite you again. We are going to talk about our pets.
Yes.
Our love for pets.
Yeah. Yes.
So, thank you so much, and...
Mm-hmm. Of course, Titi.
Gracias a todos los oyentes que saben inglés y español, que pudieron participar de este episodio, que pudieron escucharlo, y los veo hasta luego.